Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Rendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it. Somebody said on my personal channel, they said YouTube had turned off the had unclicked their notify bell. What?
Rude.
What are you doing that for? What's going on?
Making sure we have audio. Keep talking.
Do we have audio?
No, because I'm muted.
Oh, no. Here, I'll unmute. Yeah, we're good. We have audio. Anyways, we're also available on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson, where we currently have... this says zero. I think that's the wrong one.
31.
All right, thank you. 31 people watching the live stream version of this podcast, where we discussed the highly anticipated second annual Friendo Draft. For the Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling, Bad Wrestling,
Best Action,
Dojo
Wrestling.
Stay tuned for details on what we're going to do on Xbox One. Because I'm not exact that, I know I said it was going to be NXT, but then we talked about a possible way to make it not NXT and make it another collaboration for Friendos and the Xbox One. Stay tuned for that. Today we're doing the PS4 draft.
Yes.
So that should be a lot of fun. We're also on prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Got this Young Buck shirt. He got this for me.
Uh-huh.
But that's not on our website. It's our website has our stuff on it.
I have a New Japan shirt. Also not on our page.
Well done. Good job. Anyways, now that we've got the formalities out of the way.
We're here to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, we are. Oh, the Friendo Draft, by the way, is today.
3 p.m. Pacific time.
Probably around within a half hour of when this goes up.
Yeah.
So if you're one of the early adopters of Going In Raw, if you have the notify bell clicked, probably about a half hour. Usually it goes up around 2:30.
Yeah.
Or so. Okay. Anyways, let's talk about 205 Live. So, as you've seen in the title of this show, 205 Live ratings rebound.
Yeah, according to Wrestling Observer, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They were sixth.
And that was on a week during a pay-per-view. So three of the top 10 spots was TLC, the kickoff show, and the post show, and the Raw talk afterwards. and then, of course, NXT was 5. And then right after that was 6, 205 Live. But that obviously wasn't this week's. It was last
previous
week's.
Week, yeah,
the previous week's. What happened last week on 205 Live? It was Kalisto's first. It was the lead up to TLC, right?
Go home show, yeah.
And so Kalisto had the title. They had the tag match. I don't know what to describe. I don't know why. But I mean, you know, A, it's kind of sad that might be some affirmation for the WWE that they don't need Neville around.
I know.
So that's a big bummer.
Speaking of Neville, he's not in the opening graphic package anymore.
That's true.
That's a bummer. That pretty much seals the deal.
Seals the proverbial deal.
That he's done.
Yeah.
Makes me very sad.
You know, maybe they'll want to reload on talent in another 2 years, and he'll say, look, I'll come back because I don't want to be in the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
You know, because he's great. I'm really looking forward to see what Neville can do on the independent circuit anyways, though. The New Japan, the Ring of Honor, wherever he's going to go. Mm-hmm. It should be a lot of fun. Postcards. We have to sign these.
Yes.
So, anyways.
Let's talk about 205 Live,
yeah, 205
shall we?
Live, yeah.
The show opened with a tag match, Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander.
Can he handle this? Can't handle this.
Taking on Noam Dar and Tony Nese.
I love Tony Nese, man.
He's great.
You see, I don't know if he's probably done this before. I just don't pay attention when he has his vest.
Oh, he just flexed his chest.
He flexed his chest up.
Yeah, and
to
pop
open
the buttons
vest.
Open. It was great. I don't think he's done that before.
I love
it. It was
fantastic. He's got a great theme song. So, anyways, this is a really fun match. You know, it got me to thinking. Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer likes to stir the pot on Twitter. And I don't think he does it. I don't know why he does it. I don't know. I'm not going to get in anybody else's mind. And I like Dave Meltzer. I think he's a great historian. And people take his opinion on wrestling far too seriously.
Yeah, they think it's pretty much gospel.
You know, enjoy your stuff. And he had sort of a controversial statement over the past couple of days. He said something like, Finn AJ would have been the 9th best show at PWG All-Star Weekend this past weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people kicked up storm. And, I I think it's kind of silly. I honestly think that kind of comparison is apples and oranges because you're the platform you're on, the venue you're in, the crowd you have is completely different. I watched this tag match right here and I thought to myself, you know, if this tag match was in, what is it, the American Legion Hall? Was in the American Legion Hall, that'd probably be a five-star match.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Atmosphere adds a lot.
It really does because they do. I was looking, I was like, man, this really feels like, and I know, I mean, this has been the case with 205 Live for a very long time now. When they do these really cool high-flying matches, when Rich Swann and Tony Nese and Cedric especially are going out and doing those crazy, like, you know, jumping out of the ring, doing Hurricanranas, Frankensteiners.
Hurricanrana.
Frankensteiners left and right. It's fantastic. It's so much fun. And then you see the crowd and they're just like dead. And it's like, you know, if they were doing the same stuff, but doing the Frankensteiners off the top rope into crowds at PWG, it would be, you know, it would be like five stars.
Yeah.
You know, that's my own personal speculation. That's just going back again to a kind of the ridiculousness of comparing, you know, indie shows like the PWG shows with WWE shows.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I mean, like I said, I'm a Dave Meltzer fan. I like his work. But I don't know. It's just, it's so apples and oranges when he throws it out there. You know?
It is. I know.
But, anyways, one man's opinion. I have mine.
Same here.
Yeah.
Anyways, this was a solid match about 2/3 of the way through, Brian Kendrick. Sorry. The
Brian Kendrick
and Jack Gallagher walked to the ramp, to take in the end of the match, which saw Cedric Alexander pin Noam Dar after a lumbar check.
Yes.
Now, normally, Noam Dar sells lumbar checks like nobody else.
Yeah.
Timing was a little off.
A little bit, yeah.
So he didn't get a full bounce off or rotation on impact.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, Cedric and Rich pick up the win.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick and Gallagher drop a promo where they are attempting to recruit Cedric Alexander because he's shown that he can be cruel in their estimation.
Yeah.
And that's the path in their eyes to success.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think Cedric is going to turn on Rich Swann? I get the feeling that there's a maybe in there. Why not?
I think it'd be interesting if he did.
I know.
I think that if they turn him heel and have him do really awesome work as a heel, he can easily make that transition from heel to popular heel to beloved heel, if you will, to incredibly over face turn.
Yeah.
I think that could be in store for Cedric Alexander. And if they do that, I think that'd be great.
I could totally see that being the case. Because here's the thing on 205 Live, they're usually pretty good at throwing us curveballs.
Yeah.
You know, like they'll go off beat with stories that you think, okay, well, Cedric is a face. He's never going to turn. And then they'll turn him heel. And then maybe, like you said, they'll turn him face.
Well, that was the thing with Jack Gallagher. I didn't think he was going to align himself with Brian Kendrick.
Right,
and yet
exactly.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, I was checking our stream. I thought people were saying some stuff.
After that, there was a Drew Gulak promo where he was still upset about TLC and not having his segment.
Again, this is great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's Dean Malenko, but with a ton of charisma.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And so he says, we're going to do a PowerPoint presentation refresher. So he starts all the way at the beginning.
He's so bitter about it. He says, we're going to do a refresher. We're going all the way back to the beginning. Slide one.
No jumping off the top rope.
Yeah, exactly.
Grand Metalik.
Oh.
He comes out for his match against Drew Gulak. A good match. Clash of styles.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Metalik doing the high-flying stuff. Drew Gulak concentrating on a ground-based submission attack.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, Drew Gulak wins with the Dragon Sleeper.
Yep. Good stuff.
Dragon Sleepers always look like they legitimately hurt.
Grand Metalik, what do they call him? The Master of the Ropes.
Yeah.
That's so much fun. I could watch that all day long. That dude just climbing, you know, just bouncing on the ropes.
Oh, yeah.
Walking them and stuff. That's so much fun.
I know. How he walks along the ropes from one point to another is great. I just want to see him do that like an entire match.
I want him to just run laps on the ropes.
But like that, where he kind of, because he doesn't just walk.
He goes zoom, doom,
like that.
Doom, doom.
It's great.
He has like our finger presentation. Doom, 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 doom.
After the match, Drew Gulak attacks Grand Metalik, sets up his handle for his sign across Metalik's leg as if to injure it.
Mm-hmm.
Akira Tozawa comes out, makes the save.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing Drew Gulak did during his promo was brag about injuring Akira Tozawa's vocal cords so that he can't chant anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just know Alex C. in chat says Metalik's rope walk dropkick is in 2K18.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Anyway.
Next, yeah. A Kalisto interview.
Oh, yeah. I completely checked out. Don't want to hear a word he has to say. Don't care. Do not care. I'm already fast forwarding. Don't care.
When I was watching the finish of this show,
yeah.
I just kind of wish, like, just don't have him talk.
Yeah, I know.
It'd be much more effective if he wasn't talking.
I know. Mystery adds a lot.
It really does.
You know? Mystery really adds so much. Just cover his face. Nothing is, I mean, maybe they feel like if little kids hear him talk, they'll be into him and want to buy his merch. That's the only thing I can think with Kalisto.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think. And there's some validity to that. I mean, Rey Mysterio was somewhat charming. He kind of has the same Rey Mysterio thing going for him,
mm-hmm.
except what's the difference? You know what it was? It's that Rey Mysterio was that boring, but he had Eddie to bounce off of like so much of the time. He had a lot of people to bounce off of.
Well,
like,
I think too was
literally and figuratively.
Ray was such an innovator.
Yeah, I know.
No one really wrestled like him.
You gave him license.
Now, as the Lucha Libre style is becoming more prevalent,
mm-hmm.
Not just in terms of Lucha wrestlers, but in terms of also other wrestlers adopting aspects of that style into their own styles.
Right.
A lot of the awesome stuff that we'd never seen before that Ray was doing mm-hmm. is a bit more commonplace.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from Kalisto, because he's a really good wrestler. He does some crazy stuff. That might have something to do with it.
I think you're probably right. Like, he was known. He was brought in. You know, he wasn't brought in on his promo ability. If you remember the old promos we saw when it was going in Raw Views, it was all just shots of him flying, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was brought in, you know, as that guy.
Yeah.
And then they interject when they had story for him. That's when they would have him talk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, let's see here. Yeah. So then we had Enzo versus Kalisto.
Oh, I'll say this.
Their rematch.
Real quick, though, too, with Kalisto, it's kind of a bummer for him that his first feud is against Enzo, who's not.
Isn't the
wrestler that he is.
Doesn't allow him to highlight
so,
his stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For the most part. So, yeah. I mean, if he was in there, if he could have a match with Grand Metalik or Mustafa Ali.
Well, I mean, okay, so that's a good example right there is Grand Metalik. We never hear him talk.
Yeah.
We never hear him talk. I just see him walking the ropes, and I'm like, ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes the voice can detract.
Speaking of voices, Arya Daivari dropped a promo before this match.
Call himself Daivari De Niro.
Yeah.
That was great.
Well, I think Enzo's called him that before.
I think he has. Yeah. I just haven't heard him refer to himself as that.
And unlike Drew Gulak,
I want some of those giant yellow sunglasses.
Oh, I know.
Those were cool.
Unlike Drew Gulak, who more or less recited Enzo's usual opening promo verbatim,
mm-hmm.
some couple changes. Arya Daivari did a completely different thing that was his own.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. We've always been big fans. He's such a sleeper, you know?
He really is. He's one
Daivari
of those guys.
Daivari is so good.
Whatever you give him, he gives it his all.
He really does. I know. He's a really good wrestler. He always does his best with his character work. And, you know, when you see effort, when you see somebody who's really taking his job seriously.
And enjoying himself.
And yeah. Plus, on top of that, he has some natural charisma. He doesn't have overwhelming natural charisma, but he's got some natural charisma. And he's got some decent comedic timing.
Yeah.
This is like the perfect role for him.
It really is.
I like Daivari. He's good.
He's good.
When he starts talking in I guess Farsi is
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
It cracks me up. Freaking Nigel McGuinness is my favorite, dude. He's so funny. When Daivari spelled S-A-W-F-T soft,
mm-hmm.
Nigel said, I guess it's spelled the same in Farsi.
That was good. I laughed too.
Because I thought he was going to spell it out in Farsi
I know. That's pretty funny.
Oh, God. Because
yeah, right before he did that bit of Enzo's promo, he spoke mm-hmm. for a bit in Farsi.
Nigel McGuinness is one of those dudes who knows that he's funny, but never laughs at his own jokes.
I know.
He's
it
that
makes
guy.
It funnier.
It makes it funnier.
I mean, even when
he always has that kind of smirk like he knows it's funny.
Even just when they cut to him and Vic Joseph or an NXT, the broadcast team, where they introduce themselves.
Yeah.
I know. He's like... Always doing that.
Yeah.
Points the camera.
Yeah.
Gives a peace sign.
What does that do to his legs? Do you want me to show you?
I know.
No.
Oh, it's funny.
Oh, I love Nigel McGuinness. Makes me want to go back and watch some of his matches from back in
the
day.
Oh, I know.
Anyway.
Anyways, this match is okay. Again, Enzo is kind of limited in what he can do in the ring.
Yeah.
he did resort to some dirty tricks to retain the belt, because at the end, Kalisto was going up to the top rope. Enzo, who had been beat up pretty good, just kicks the ref right in the hip pushes him into the rope.
I know. We had that conversation yesterday about our hips, and I was like, oh, man.
I know.
That looks like it hurt.
Ref goes in the rope, knocks Kalisto off the top turnbuckle. Ref, I don't know why he was acting confused.
Yeah, I know.
You should call for the bell right away.
I know.
Because it was plainly obvious. Enzo kicked him in the hip.
Just got kicked in the hips.
Call for the bell right away.
Yeah.
There should be no deliberation. Nonetheless.
Well, it is. I mean, okay. Is it
deliberation whether you DQ him just because you know he did that purposely?
I think it's like just shock value.
What the heck?
That was unexpected. I mean, that's a DQ.
I kind of felt like the ref was deliberating whether, oh, should I DQ him? Because that was blatantly obvious.
You never saw a semi-pro, or you did?
I've never seen it.
Okay, well, in the movie, Andre 3000's character, essentially him and Woody Harrelson invent the alley-oop, right? And they dominate the final game with the alley-oop until the other team figures it out. Well, when they do it, the entire crowd, because obviously it's a great move, the entire crowd just stops. And then the ref calls the whistle and goes, foul! No, two fouls! You can't just do that! I think that's what the ref was doing. He just kind of freaked out.
That's funny.
And then Will Arnett, the announcer, says, I think I have an erection. That's a funny movie.
So Enzo walks up the ramp with his title. Kalisto, understandably quite upset, runs up the ramp and just lays out Enzo.
Yeah.
Beats him up.
I like that Enzo turned around and watched it happen for like 5 seconds too, because he was going up the ramp like this, and then he turns around because he knows, like, you know, non-kayfabe wise, that he's supposed to turn around and accept the shot, but he turned around like way too early, and he's just standing there while Kalisto's bolting at him. And then he accepts his punishment.
And then Kalisto goes back down to the ring, I guess, to complain to the ref or something, and then Enzo gets the mic. And
so is this going to escalate? Are we getting another match? There's no general manager like that ever shows up. People claim they talk to Kurt Angle, but you never really see him talk about stuff.
Yeah.
I could see maybe a rematch on Raw.
Yeah. Because at Survivor Series, they have the Cruiserweight elimination match.
Right. So. Maybe like a no DQ match on Raw. What's-his-face Enzo retains by cheating without the ref seeing.
I almost kind of feel like it's going to continue they'll spin their wheels on this feud till after Survivor Series, and they'll have their blow off. Because
really?
If Kalisto loses again, what motivation is there for him to captain one of the Survivor Series teams?
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like they're going to hit the pause button on this until after Survivor Series, and then after that match, assuming they don't put the title on the line during that match.
You're insistent on that.
Well, I think it'd be a good idea.
I think it'd be a great idea.
Then they'll have a rematch on the Raw or something afterwards.
That'd be so much fun if they did that, if they put the title on.
Oh, yeah,
that'd
be great. Yeah, that way you get the belt on any of the 10 people. Oh, I know.
Cedric Alexander.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
On to NXT.
Yay! Woo! I need a cheer button over here.
Like, that was a fun show.
Woo! I know I say this every week.
You do say it every week.
I love NXT. It's my favorite time of the week, wrestling-wise, man. I sit on my couch. Everybody's in bed already. I load it up. It's fantastic. Another great week of NXT action. Kicks off with a William Regal promo. Why would I not love that?
It's a good Regal way. This trophy's in it.
Due to the circumstances regarding Nikki Cross's participation in her fatal triple threat match to be in the Fatal 4-Way at Houston Takeover War Games.
Regal was way more smooth. Anyway,
I can never match his smoothness. I've decided to insert her in said Battle Royal for tonight.
You're speaking too fast, too.
I've decided to insert Nikki Cross into the Battle Royal tonight, featuring like 80 women from the Mae Young Classic. And she will have an opportunity to join Ember Moon, Peyton Royce, and Kairi Sane in that match at TakeOver Houston War Games. Let the games begin.
Well, also, he said next week, Sanity versus Authors of Pain for the tag titles, and whatever member of Sanity is not involved in the match, barred from ringside.
You'll be barred from ringside. Following protocol. And I love that. He's following protocol. That was great.
Great stuff.
I love the word protocol. He's just because it makes so much sense. He's the freaking headmaster.
Yeah.
You know, he's the principal.
Yeah.
And they're all kids in school.
Pretty much.
And it's at a university.
And I like that he always does stuff. Where? In his office.
And that was great.
All of his declarations are made from his office.
At least this one. I'm glad that they stopped doing, although there is a certain charm to the Facebook Live or the Facebook videos. Yeah. They were so bad. But at least this one wasn't that. And at least this one wasn't like with cheesy microphones, although we got that later on.
We did.
Let's see here. So after that we had, oh, our first match was, finally we got the tag team of Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, and they took on Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli, the, Kurt Hawkins of NXT. And,
no, they're not the Kurt Hawkins now.
Not anymore. They broke their streak.
Yep.
Let me ask you something.
What?
If Tino and Riddick were in NXT for another 3 years and never won a match, they would start to be over.
Yeah.
People would really start to love them. They have chump love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You want to love them because they're kind of chumps at this point.
Yeah.
And I feel like that continued for even another 6 months of a high-profile losing streak where they just kept on trying, but then they'd get, like, destroyed by the Authors of Pain.
Yeah, yeah.
They just kept on trying, and finally, their first win, people would mark out for that. Because they're so... To me now, I've moved on past not liking them. Now they're so bad, I'm kind of rooting for them.
I feel like I was at that point 2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah.
And really, the turning
against
point...
Against Gargano?
No, no. The turning point for me was Riddick Moss so bad it was good promo at the house show here.
Yeah, okay.
That was the turning point for me.
Okay.
When he delivered that promo with just enough conviction and skill that you could tell he was trying to heal it up.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can get on board this.
See, the next time we saw them, I think it was against Gargano. And I was like, I do not want Gargano to lose against these guys. Anybody but them. I'm not this. That'd be terrible for him. And they didn't, or he didn't.
Yeah. He beat both of them.
I think he beat both of them. But I was actually bummed out that their first win that I saw came against my new favorite tag team.
Well, that's the story they're trying to do with Burch and Lorcan is... Yeah, they're a team, but there's still growing pains involved with working together as a tag team.
And here's the thing. I think they did this last night, and I want to see this. I want them to show patience, you know? Not like immediately we're frustrated with each other. No, 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 no. I want them to understand that this is a process.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Because goddamn, they're awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Man, their chops. The freaking drop kick that Oney Lorcan threw down on, I think, Riddick Moss.
Yeah.
Where it was like his top foot hit the dude's head and the other foot hit his torso.
Yeah.
And he was just the loudest. I think, I don't know if he put something special, some like sort of audio booster, like a chemical on his hand. Because when he slaps his leg, it's just so loud.
Super loud.
Oh, it's so great. And their chops are amazing. They just look so good together.
Yeah.
What's their name going to be? I hope they don't have a name. I just want...
Oh, yeah. It should be...
Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. Yeah.
That's what it should be. I agree.
Yeah.
After that, we had the Women's Battle Royal to find the last competitor in the Fatal 4-Way match at NXT TakeOver War Games in Houston Survivor Series weekend. Quality match. Lots of fun.
This was some of the most fun booking I've seen in a Battle Royal. This was a huge amount of fun. And... I don't know where this was in terms of like the taping schedule, but the crowd was really into like
the crowd was really into this in the main event too.
They were really into this, and they're really into how great was that shot?
Oh my god!
We'll talk about that in a second. But that's my gif of the year right there.
Yeah, so good.
It's so good. Well, now the dude falling, not hitting the table, is my favorite gif of the year. I don't think anything's gonna beat that.
But I've seen several gifs of similar spots where people just missing.
Yeah, but that one's special.
Oh, I know. That's the first one that came across our plate.
It's we'll so,
always hold
it's
the place
so
in our heart.
Special because there's such an element of cartoon. There's an element of like Charlie Chaplin-esque blocking too, and camera placement. It's just camera here.
Oh, I know.
And the action takes place.
I know. You get to see it all in one shot. Some of the ones, you know,
it's not like
to follow
no
the action.
Yeah,
it's like a locked off camera. They were just recording everything.
There could be freaking like
shot.
They if you toss that in sepia tone and put some like old timey music to it and some cards, it'd be great. You can make a little silent film out of it. Anyways, Women's Battle Royal. It was fantastic.
Great.
I loved it.
Nikki Cross immediately.
Sign them all to contracts.
Yeah.
I love them all.
Nikki Cross immediately went after Tanara Conti.
Well, the great thing is, so Nikki Cross was the last person to come out. The entire crowd, the entire women's division in the ring, all lined up side by side to basically confront Nikki.
Yeah.
She gets in there and, immediately goes after, what's her name?
Tanara Conti.
Tanara Conti, yeah, exactly.
And eliminates her pretty much immediately.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then Conti gets Cross out of the ring through the ropes, not over.
Yeah.
So she wasn't eliminated. And there was some fighting going on down there, which took Cross out of the match for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of cool eliminations. Bianca Belair had a really strong showing. She eliminated Rhea Ripley and then Zeta back-to-back.
Yeah.
It was cool. She had Zeta in like a power slam position. Turned her around, hit Rhea Ripley, so she's eliminated.
Yeah, Belair had a hell. You can tell they're high on her. Yeah. She had a hell of a showing.
And then dumped Zeta out.
Yeah.
And then when Cross came back in, she eliminated four people right in a row.
Oh, she was just going on a tear. It was great. Yeah.
So Vanessa Bourne, Sage Beckett, Santana Garrett, Abby Lath,
and all eliminated. Nigel was just eating it all up. Yeah. He was like, oh my God, another one!
Candice LeRae, there's a cool spot where Candice LeRae and Lacey Evans were fighting in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Candice LeRae gets Lacey Evans over the rope, but she's on the apron,
mm-hmm.
and Lacey Evans does like an ankle kick that knocks Candice down. Mm-hmm. Candice responds with her own kind of ankle kick.
Yeah,
Lacey Evans eliminated.
Eliminated.
And then Bianca Belair like military press slammed Candice LeRae out of the ring.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
With ease.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
And then it was probably the spot of the night where Bianca Belair and Billie Kay were going at it.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca Belair is trying to eliminate Billie Kay, and Billie Kay holds on to Bianca Belair's braid.
So she's like, her braid is keeping her from being eliminated, basically.
Yeah.
And there's a great picture of it. I don't know if it's a still or it's a picture from like the actual broadcaster's picture they took, but there's a great image of her doing that, and then Peyton Royce is behind her, like trying to root her on, you know,
because
she's not trying to touch her and get her DQ'd or whatever.
Eventually, Billie Kay gets back in the ring, and Bianca Belair just goes to town mm-hmm. with her braid.
Yeah, it was fantastic because she was so livid that she was like using the hair. She just went to town on it. There's like a picture of, there's like a big old cut Billie Kay has from the hair. And it was great. And the crowd like just gasps every time she hits her with the hair because those braids are so, or the beads are so loud.
I know, so loud.
So that was cool. Then Nikki Cross eliminated. So that led to a spot where Mercedes Martinez and Belair were both on the apron, and they were both fighting to be, you know, to stave off elimination. And Nikki Cross gathers herself and just railroads them both off.
Yeah.
Nikki Cross wins.
Well, she lost eliminates Billie Kay to pick up the win.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of feel like Nikki Cross is going to win that match at TakeOver.
I'm getting that feeling, man.
They're really giving her a huge face push.
They really are. People love her, dude. I mean, can you imagine her? Like, I don't know if they're going to do... Oh, wait a second. Well, the tag titles are up next week, but they're not up at
Houston. It's the War Games match.
So it's possible she could be holding the tag titles and her women's championship. How great would that be? That'd be
pretty
fantastic.
Cool. Pretty, pretty cool.
It'd be awesome. Speaking of titles...
Yeah, champion Drew McIntyre held a kind of impromptu press conference as he was leaving the Performance Center on his way, as he said, to an international press tour.
And we got all the fake mics. Yeah. I didn't check to see if they were on or not, or if they were properly being utilized. But because I was just looking at Drew the whole time.
I know.
He's comes out there. I know he is. He's like, I'm on my way to international waters or something. I'm going on a press tour. It's one of the things about being champion and a great man. And then my new favorite person ever, Selena Vega, comes up to him and she's like, my client Andrade Pinalma. Like, she says his name so quickly. I'm like, that is amazing. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah.
Austin Aries is a very lucky man.
Yeah.
She is awesome. Anyway, she's like, you know, Regal says the contract is ready to go. What's the deal? Why hasn't this, you know, why haven't you taken more of an initiative to get this done? And he says, look, I told you once, I told you twice, I'll tell you for the third time if you'll help. I'll give him his match when he comes up to me and says, I want the match. Eye to eye, men.
I like how friendly Drew McIntyre is whenever
he's so friendly.
Zelina Vega comes up to me, he goes, oh, hi, Zelina.
I know. Oh,
he seems so pleasant.
I know, he does. He's the best.
He is the best.
So anyways, that's what he wants. He told her three times now, I want Andrade San Almas. It's a bummer to me that he said he didn't want to be in the video game, apparently. That's what I read.
Oh, Almas?
I read that he said he didn't want to. Why would that be?
I don't know.
Don't leave.
Oh,
don't,
I know.
Don't leave, please. Why would he not want to be in the video game?
I don't know.
That's so bizarre.
I don't know.
I love him, man.
He's great. So after that, we had Aleister Black come out for a match against Sunboy. We never found out against who, because he was attacked by the Velveteen Dream And Velveteen made his presence known in one of the best moments in NXT of the year.
Oh, my God. This was... We sort of said it like earlier this week or last week that, hey, you know, this could be feud. This is shaping up to be my feud of the year. It really is. I know we said Roman Braun. I know we say Kenny Okada.
New Day Usos.
New Day Usos. For me right now, this is number one. Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream. This is fantastic. Because a lot of it... has to do, number one, it's great, but the crowd adds so much to it.
I feel like the crowd, like us, is just so into it.
I know.
Everybody is 100%
they're so captivated by where is this going?
Yeah.
And like, just the smallest levels of violence are magnified by like the weird emotion that's in this feud. It's fantastic. Yeah. Anyways.
I mean, just the... So, yeah, set it up.
Like, and the funny thing is, like, the crowd kind of reacted to, like, the shot, too, which doesn't even make sense.
No, I know.
Because, so, Aleister Black has his entrance. He poses, like, in front of, like...
At the foot of the ramp.
At the foot of the ramp. And the camera's kind of widened out a little bit. And he's in the foreground, and there's a little bit of negative space in the background, and up pops the Velveteen Dream. And it's great. There's all this smoke there, and it just looks like a horror film.
It does.
And, like, I swear the crowd gasped at that, and I was like, why are you gasping? You're there. You should have seen him slither up.
I kind of wonder if Aleister Black's entrance, it so dominates your focus.
It could be, watch him.
And combine that with the smoke, and most of the arena's in darkness.
Yeah.
That they just didn't even notice he was there.
That could be. Literally, I mean, he was
you know, like running down beside the ramp as, you know, like as
stuff Karen. Okay, so Karen was there. She says it was really dark.
Okay,
so that, but that, the fact that they were able to get the reaction in the same shot that were reacting is really impressive.
I know.
You know.
So Velveteen Dream proceeds to attack Aleister Black, ties him up in the ropes, and yells at him. You'll say my name. Say my name.
Yeah.
And Aleister just looks at him.
Yeah.
And Velveteen slaps him, and the crowd gasps.
The crowd gasps. Again, a move that could be taken in any other match, in any other way, in any other promo, and it's like, oh, but this was like contact, physical contact, and it's like, oh, God, where is this going?
Yeah.
This is getting deep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So again, Velveteen Dream says, say my name, slaps Aleister Black again.
Yeah.
He runs the other side of the ring, runs towards Aleister Black. Aleister gets his foot up, frees himself, goes for a black mass. Velveteen Dream escapes the ring.
For a guy that we thought his gimmick had kind of a limited ceiling, I still don't know what it is on the main roster. I mean, he's athletic as hell. He's great in the ring.
He's still super young.
And he's still super young. I think his ceiling is like super duper high.
Yeah.
And this feud right here, to me, at least for NXT, is proving out that his ceiling is a lot higher in terms of even this gimmick than I thought it was before.
Yeah.
Because they're getting away from just the superficial Prince oversexed aspect of it.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. And then we had a great main event with one of my spots of the last couple months when Selena Vega hit the Hurricane Rana.
Oh, and Roderick Strong.
Out of like nowhere.
Oh, I know. She just jumps off the apron.
Good Lord.
Hurricane Rana.
That was fantastic. So anyways, they were putting on a really, really great match. This was kind of a must win for Andrade Almas. But in the typical NXT fashion, they use it to further two stories in a completely logical way.
Yeah.
And at the end, I got another great moment in recruitment history.
Yes.
Which we'll get to in a second.
Recruitment by armband.
I noticed you don't have a lot of notes about the actual match, I'm assuming because you were into it.
Yeah, I was watching it and paying attention.
Yeah, but it was kind of typical of what you see from Roderick Strong and Almas.
It was hard-hitting. It was stiff. Uh-huh. Both competitors were working each other's backs quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then the tide definitely turned, as you mentioned, when Zelina Vega hit that Hurricane Rana on Roderick Strong on the outside, sends him in the ring stairs, almost gets Strong back of the ring, hits his hammerlock DDT, and picks up the win.
The Zelina Vega Hurricane Rana, though, was just so I can't. And it's funny because our friendo Stefan Fenris, he watches usually around the same time as I watch. So I'm like on Twitter, I'm like, are you outside? You just come in and sit on my couch and watch this. But he marked out at the same spot I did because, like, you almost don't see, like, they cut, Almas is in the ring. Roderick Strong is sort of coming to beat the 10 count. And Vega is sort of hovering on the outside of the frame, but it's so quick. Like, she gets up on the apron as the camera cuts to the shot that we're going to be on. And so it's basically like cut to the shot. She starts running and just launches herself on, does the Hurricane Rana. He goes in and the crowd again, like, whoa, did not see that. And that was the first time we've seen action from her.
Yeah.
And the announcers did such a great job selling that as well. I think it was Nigel again saying something along the lines of, man, we knew she was good at business. We didn't know she was capable of doing this, though.
Yeah.
And then you see the great thing about this also is that then you see a shot of Almas and he knows her value.
Yeah.
Like, he knows that this was a secret weapon that he had waiting.
Yeah.
It's all over his face.
Yeah.
Fantastic moment.
Great stuff. So after the match, Vega and Almas go up to the commentary table.
Yeah.
She grabs Mauro Ranallo's headset and says, Drew McIntyre, next week you'll get what you want.
Yeah.
Face-to-face challenge.
Yeah.
And then Andrade takes it, says something in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
They go backstage, back to the ring, Roderick Strong.
He said Escardo, which I think means scared.
Oh.
I think he said Escardo. Because I think... I think it was...
Is he saying Drew is scared of him?
Yeah. One of the commentators said... no, it was Percy, of all people, said... he just said he's scared of him in Spanish.
Back to the ring. Undisputed Era comes out as Roderick picks himself up off the mat.
Yeah.
And it's just camera audio, no mics.
Yeah.
And...
Asustado. That's okay. What it was. Yeah, because okay. I thought it was like Estado, like Estados Unidos, the United States.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Asustado.
Yeah.
We learn Spanish here on the show.
And they walk up to Roderick Strong while he's in the corner, and Adam Cole is talking to him, says, do what's best for your family.
Mm-hmm.
Make, you know, help this be our era. Takes his armband off, hands it to Roddy. And Roddy's okay. Kind of hesitant about grabbing it, and he grabs it, and Adam Cole says, think about it.
I loved every second of this. It's so cheesy.
Oh, it is.
Their song is so...
It's pretty much the NWO song.
It's so... It's so cheesy. And they come down. And there's like... It's cheesy cool, though. Because it's Adam Cole. And that dude's cool as hell. And then you got Fish and O'Reilly there. And they come down. And Bobby Fish has his shirt tucked in, which is great. I didn't notice O'Reilly, but I think it was wearing black pants.
Well, both Adam Cole and Bobby Fish had dress shoes on. While wearing t-shirts.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
And Adam Cole had his sleeves cut off so he could show off his guns.
His giant Larson-esque guns. I'm telling you, man, I think you're about his size.
Upper body, yeah.
Like, yeah.
His legs are thicker than mine.
Yeah, you got to work on the trunks.
Again, I got bad hips. It's
and he
hard.
Said, the funny thing is, he said, he said, you're no loser.
Yeah.
You're not a loser. You're a winner. That's why you should be with us. And then Bobby Fish says, you should listen to him.
Yeah, I know. That was great. And to Kyle O'Reilly is just over there doing this
I know
stuff.
He's all doing his weird. Somebody on either on Twitter or in the comments said it perfectly. He said, Kyle O'Reilly looks like a 12-year-old acting like he knows ninja moves. That's what he looks like. Because he has a little kid face. Oh, man. And we got the recruitment via armband. Oh, man. If there's anything better than recruitment via t-shirt, it's recruitment versus armband.
Yes.
I was very excited to see that. Very happy about that.
I know. Me too.
Yeah.
So the episode ended on a bit of a cliffhanger, whether Roddy would put the armband on or not.
Mm-hmm.
He was considering it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was good, man. So... I mean, we know what's out. We won't spoil it here because most people here, I think, don't really want to. We kind of know what that match is because they announced it for War Games, but they announced it in, you know, a way that can only be a spoilerly fashion.
Yeah.
I do think, in the end, Roderick Strong.
Let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
On the armband was the CFO logo, Cole, Fish, O'Reilly.
Yeah.
How are they going to work an S into it?
Yeah, with a dollar sign. That'd be the music people. They're the CFOs.
Oh, I understand that.
Just like the music people. They just have to change it up. They'll have to change it up. They can do it.
This all new merch.
It all feels and it all feels placeholder anyways.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the music feels placeholder. Adam Cole definitely needs his own theme. Redragon needs their own theme.
Yeah.
Roderick already has his. Donovan's gonna have his own theme. Yeah. I think this is gonna be a big strong faction.
Oh, I hope so.
Because we haven't seen that in a while.
No.
You know? So yeah. Anyways.
Fun show.
They can, honestly, NXT can do no wrong for me. They really can.
Let's answer some questions.
All right.
CM Punk
finds it. I'm not even on the Patreon.
Oh, my goodness. CM Punk finds it insulting. Power Rank.
Power rank.
Wrestlers from anywhere in the world that look like Friendo creations for bad wrestling. Here's number one. It's Enzo Amore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He Enzo already has like, distorted face.
Yes, Enzo looks like a bad wrestling, Friendo Unified Championship wrestling creation.
Yeah. Matt Riddle kind of looks like a Friendo Unified Championship creation because he's got goofy face,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Although somebody would, like one knowing our fans, knowing our Friendo community, they would name him something like, you know, pot smoker. there's so many names that are just like, I think Jason the Cavi today tweeted at us, and now meningitis is
he's in the draft pool.
He's in the draft pool. He's infecting the draft pool. I love it. Who else looks like who else looks kind of goofy? Like a Friendo creation. Who's that guy? I think he's like in.
Oh, Otis Dozovich.
Oh, yeah. Because we like the hosses.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
Well, who were you going to say?
The Japanese wrestler who has the really goofy big mask on his face with like the weird face on his face. I forget who he is. I forget his name. But he's like a comedy wrestler. I have no idea even how to look him up.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyways,
those are all good answers.
Those are all good. See, Lars Sullivan. There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a good one.
Discord Club underboss Jimmy Thomas. Hey, friendos, do you ever see WWE having a mixed tag championship? And if so, power rank,
who
would you put together as a team? Johnny Gargano.
I know. I'd hate Candace to, but LeRae. You know, she's been such an iconic duo with Joey Ryan. You'd have to bring Joey Ryan in.
I'd be okay with
He'd
that.
Just have to tone down the
penis stuff.
The penis stuff, exactly. I don't know.
No more penis plex.
Yeah. Other mixed tag teams.
Finn Balor and Becky Lynch.
That'd be a good one.
He helped train her, right?
Yeah, I think so. They go back a ways. I know that much. Oh, I'd love to see. I mean, I know they're already sort of in a group, but Big Damo, Killian Dane, and Nikki Cross.
That'd be good.
That'd be really good. Him that'd just launching her all over the place. That'd be great. That'd be really cool.
Rusev and Lana.
There you go. I really don't want to see her wrestle, but okay.
Tommy T. Hey, friend, those my question is
Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
Power rankings. Power rank, who in the WWE is having the best 2017 so far? He says The Miz. Braun Strowman's having the best 2017 in WWE.
Hard to argue with that. The Miz is a really good answer.
Miz is a good answer. I would say Braun Strowman.
Braun is in the main event scene.
Yeah.
He's, third in line?
It's hard not to say Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, Jinder Mahal.
He went from undercard jobber to champion.
Yeah.
He's got to be on there.
Yeah.
Neville had a good year until he left.
Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and picked up that title immediately.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. Who'd you say? Who'd you
Neville.
Say? Neville?
Neville was having a great year.
Well, he was.
That's what I said. Was. Past tense.
Yeah. Depending on where he lands by December 31st, I guess he could still... Well,
the I don't question know. Is, WWE.
Yeah.
The Nightcrawler. Hey, Steven Larson. My question is, what is your favorite documentary on the WWE Network? And if it's a compilation like the Monday Night Wars documentary, what is your favorite episode of it?
Two of my favorites are, the Monday Night Wars one.
Yeah, that's good.
Is a really good one.
The Rise and Fall of ECW.
Yeah,
is
that on the network?
I don't know.
I forget if that's on the network. That was always one of my favorites. I don't know if that, they probably don't have the Self-Destruction Ultimate Warrior.
Probably not, no.
Probably not. But that was definitely one of my favorites. For biographies, it was Stone Cold and it was Jericho because theirs goes back to war. Another great one was they did a documentary on the Big Gold Belt.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and that was really good.
That was good.
That was like a freaking legit history of pro wrestling.
The Ric Flair one's really good,
mm-hmm.
as is the Dusty Rhodes one.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk one's good. Shawn Michaels good one, one's good. Yeah. The Shawn Michaels Bret Hart rivalries episode.
I never
really good.
Did watch that one.
It's good.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of awkward interviews between them. Was it Michael Cole or something?
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I can't.
No, it's riveting, man.
Two people being awkward with each other.
It's great.
I get enough of that here on the show.
Tim Morris, what do you see NXT doing with Hideo Itami going forward? We haven't seen him since the last takeover. Yeah, he's been on TV much.
I think he's gone. That's my guess. He's either gone or he's on Maine. I don't. He wasn't at this TV tape. He wasn't like, that's like 2 months of TV.
I know.
He wasn't at this taping.
Maybe they were waiting for a reason to bring him up to 205 Live or something. I don't know. Or maybe they said, you're going to 205 Live. And he goes, no, I'm not.
I don't think I am.
Just blew a booger out of my nose. Sorry.
Good job.
You.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we heard like rumors that he was going to be gone.
Yeah. He poo-pooed those rumors on Twitter, I think, though.
He poo-pooed him on NXT.
Yeah, that too.
You know, the what's-her-face, Christy McLeod, said, people are saying this about you. And he says, no, I'm here to stay.
Here's an interesting question. Nicholas Grosskirth. Is CN Almas's ceiling any higher than Jobber to the Stars?
Man. You know, I looked him up last night as La Sombra to see, like, his accomplishments are so great in, you know, outside of the WWE.
Yeah.
I don't realistically know what his ceiling is given the landscape of the WWE. In my heart, it's all the ceiling.
Yeah, me too.
It's I love him to death. I think he's great. I think Zelina Vega is a fantastic addition and makes him more complete.
Mm-hmm.
I love him so much.
Yeah, same here.
I think he's, I mean, ideally, he would be Alberto Del Rio, but with an edge and with charisma.
Yeah.
You know? Which I think is a pretty high ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think, because he's, I think he's only like 5'9 or something. He's like, he's short, dude.
Here, I'll check. Read next question.
Matthew Shope. Very simple question. Do you think they're going to ruin
He is 5'9.
Do you think they're going to ruin Aleister Black on the main roster? I am always optimistic that they won't.
Yeah.
And then kind of surprised. I mean, okay. Who's been ruined on main roster? Who do you think has been ruined on main roster?
Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode so far.
I wouldn't say Nakamura's been ruined, but
I wouldn't say that yet.
The luster's off a little bit.
Yeah, there's a little bit of the luster off.
I'm
not sure SmackDown was a great move for him in the first place. I think he should have been a Raw guy.
Probably, but SmackDown needed the star power.
Yeah, so I know. I know.
I won't say Ty Dillinger was ruined because his ceiling wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But he had some momentum coming up from NXT, and then they did nothing with it.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. I mean, I think I'll put it this way. I don't think Finn Balor's been ruined.
No.
I think he's a big star. Yeah. I think they just put him in programs sometimes when they don't really know what else to do with him.
Bray Wyatt.
He was a WWE champion.
Yeah, he was a transitional champion to get that belt on Randy Orton, though.
Which was a transition for Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
I mean, the belt has been kind of transitional. I actually don't think of Bray Wyatt as a transitional champion because there was a lot of meat to that story. It's just they wanted that story to have face Orton win the title which from the evil Bray
boring,
Wyatt.
Boring outcome.
Which you're absolutely right. But I don't necessarily consider that transitional. I just think that he was top villain for a while and top villain had the belt. And I don't think Bray, I still think to this day that Bray, within a 6 month period, if they book him right, could be top dog again. You know, he's got everything needed. They could literally bury him in the ground. They can have his first loss be, or his first, Curt Hawkins' first win could be against Bray Wyatt. And I still maintain that within 6 months, they could book him back to prominence.
Yeah.
Finn Balor's the same way. He could be booked to the moon in 6 months. He'd be, you know, huge. He's still supremely over. I think Aleister Black is kind of burial proof in that mode.
I would hope so.
You know, I mean, unless they fundamentally change his character, like we think they've done with Bobby Roode, unless they have him go out there smiling a bunch and completely changing what we knew of him in NXT, I think he's burial proof.
Yeah.
If he goes to Raw and they use him in the same way they've used Samoa Joe, I think sky's the limit for him.
Yeah. Dom the Man Hilberg or Sabatelli and Moss, the worst things ever, because I'm pretty sure they're the worst things ever. No, they're not the worst things
ever. I'm going to say this. For me, I would rather see them. Who did they fight last night? Oh, okay. I was happier to see them against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch than I would have been Heavy Machinery. I like them for their cheese factor at this point. They're so bad, but they're not Heavy Machinery bad.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like Heavy Machinery.
I've noticed.
They're just too 1995.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As opposed to Tino and the
Riddick.
Other guy.
Riddick.
What year are they? 2002?
Yeah. I was going to say 2003.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're on the same page then.
Very much early Ruthless Aggression era.
They're walking affliction models.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they're tribal tattoos.
Yeah.
With human form. Pow, pow, pow. Daryl the Cat Takahashi wants to pow, 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 power rank. Who comes up after Survivor Series?
I don't think anybody does. I think they're just going to wait till Mania. Maybe someone will debut or come up just for the Rumble. Imagine if Drew came out for the Rumble. That'd be great.
That'd be something else. Man, I don't know. There's a lot of people right now. There's a lot going on.
I know, but that's the thing. A lot of stuff is going on.
Everywhere. I know.
Alex C. says Ember Moon. If she doesn't win that belt, maybe.
Oh, I could see.
Although they were teasing a program with her and Ruby Riott.
Well, you got to think about this, too. Once, maybe not after Survivor Series, but maybe after the Rumble. And by the way, I hope they do a woman's Rumble this year. Once the horsewomen go into whatever their program is with the other horsewomen, there's going to be a bit of a vacuum in the women's division for that period of time leading up to WrestleMania. So it wouldn't surprise me if Ember Moon came up at that point.
I mean, it solidifies if the horsewoman versus horsewoman match happening at Mania more or less guarantees we're going to get Asuka versus Alexa Bliss for the belt at Mania.
Yeah, that could be, yeah. Couple more questions for people.
Zach Stolpa says Authors of Pain have to be called up after TakeOver. Assuming they don't win.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they don't. I haven't looked at the spoilers. Nobody tell me, Karen. I don't know if they're going to win next week or not. I would assume they're not.
Yeah, I would assume they're not either. I mean, I would assume that Undisputed Era would get involved.
Oh, right, because we know. You're right.
Yeah.
We know what the War Games thing is. Yeah, next week's going to be interesting. When's the... It's still 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicholas Combs says, I knew as soon as William Regal said that Nikki Cross would be in the Battle Royal, that she would win it. Did you feel the same way when he said, I've decided to put Nikki Cross? As soon as he said that, I was like, oh, she's going to win the title. That's actually...
No, yeah, Leap wasn't just, she's going to the Battle Royals. Oh, she's probably going to the belt.
Exactly. Yeah, I went past the Battle Royal. Yes. this is a good, great question right here. Charvel finds it funny, Myers. Who do you believe has the highest ceilings... Regardless of whether they are... Wait, who do you believe have the highest ceilings regardless of whether they are under the thumb of Triple H or Vince? That was a different question than I thought than I initially read it. I thought he said, do you believe ceilings differ whether they're under Triple H or Vince? And I think that's definitely yes. But who is above Vince and Triple H in terms of the ceiling? For example... We think Bobby Roode's ceiling is probably way higher under Triple H than it is under Vince because we're kind of seeing that right now.
Well, I think that'd be the case for Sami Zayn, too.
Oh, you think so?
They could replay his NXT story on May and get him superly over.
Yeah. Trying to think of other people. Asuka. I wonder what Vince thinks about Asuka.
I know.
I do.
Did you read what Meltzer said about her match against Emma at a TLC?
Yeah. I sort of took that with a grain of salt, though. He said it should have been a squash or it should have been a really, really fantastic match.
Instead, we got neither.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure at what point I ever thought we were main roster is going to give us really, really good matches. You know what I mean? Like, they gave us AJ. They would have given us 30 minutes of AJ Finn in a 5-star match. Before they were going to give us a 5-star match with Asuka and Emma, you know?
It's crazy. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. Someone posted that graphic up about AJ, the travel he had to go through to get to that match.
Yeah.
And basically, they had like no time to prep for their match.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, and if, you know, that's crazy to think they put on a match as good as what they did.
I know. No, I agree. No, they're definitely... Karen makes a point here. She's only 2 months out after snapping her collarbone.
She should be in shorter matches than Asuka.
I know.
You could say, okay, Asuka made the jump to main, so the competition's better, whatever. But the second match on Raw, that should have been a squash.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know.
That should have been a squash.
I know.
That should have been 2 minutes.
Takahashi has another good question. Besides Leo Rush or Ricochet, if he comes to WWE, which looks increasingly likely, he's no more indie dates for him after January. Is there anyone in NXT you could see going straight to 205 Live? Johnny Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely Johnny Gargano.
What if they sent Almas to 205 Live?
I don't know if he'd like that. Let's think about 205 Live a year from now. Okay. Almas, Gargano,
Ciampa,
Hitami. Ciampa, I still feel is raw.
Oh, I know.
I feel Ciampa's raw. I feel like maybe they'll do something together in NXT. I don't see Ciampa going to NXT 205 Live. For some reason, I just don't. My thought is this: Gargano, Hitami, Almas, Leo Rush. Four huge, great wrestlers.
Yeah.
Huge names, I mean, for us.
And great wrestlers.
And great wrestlers. Four huge acquisitions for 205
Ricochet
Live.
Ricochet said, though, too, he wants the Finn Balor path.
Did I put Ricochet? I don't think I put Ricochet.
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. He's not going to 205. He is. Ricochet is so not going to 205 Live.
He's bulking up, too, it looks like, a little bit.
Yeah, man. He's like, 206? How about 210?
I know.
Let's make it way too, yeah.
208, to be safe.
208, exactly, yeah. No, he's not doing that.
I kind of feel like Aleister Black needs to put an extra pound, so they announce him at 206 now.
I think he needs to do that as well, because that would be completely weird. At that point, man, you got to rebrand the show. Number one, 205 Live needs infusion of talent. They really do. Yeah. Enzo and Kalisto just aren't going to cut it. They need an infusion of talent, and they need a bit of a rebrand.
Yeah.
They really do.
So. Yeah, they need to freshen up the product a bit and not necessarily do it live. Do it in front of a hotter crowd.
I'm telling you, man. Do it in freaking Orlando. Get a American Legion Hall in Orlando.
No, do it somewhere like on the East Coast.
Detroit.
Do it in New York or something like that, or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Especially, I know WWE's.
Philly?
Really trying to stick it to the indies.
Ooh.
Philly, I think, is Ring of Honor's home base for one of them. Or is it Baltimore? I don't remember.
The ECW Arena.
Yep.
Or the Hammerstein.
Yeah, do it the Hammerstein.
That'd be sick. Come on! You know it'd be great. Just taping once a month, man. That's all
yep.
I need.
Yep.
Gee willikers. That'd be great. Anyways.
But they're in cost-cutting mode, so it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Anyways, we got to get ready for the draft.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. We appreciate it. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Outro music.